Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to live your word, because I've been chosen for victory, not for defeat, for health, not for sickness, for prosperity, and not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name, and order the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. If you believe it, give a big hand to the Lord today. Well, we are in our series, Revolution. And we are learning every week about a new level of the love of God, the love of ourselves, or for ourselves, and the love for our families. But today we want to talk about how to love God's family. And I have Pastor Alfredo with me. I have Sara Ramirez. And I have Gary Robinson as well with me. So can you welcome them, please? That is so, so good. Today is a very important day because we are going to learn together the next level of how we can love our church. And when I talk about the Church of Christ, I not only talk about the big church in the whole world for the old times, I'm talking about this church, our family, because in the same way that God has commanded us to love our own families, he wants us to love his family. And all the children of God are God's family, and we need to learn how to love them because it's not easy sometimes. No, it's not easy to relate to others. But we need to learn how to do it because together as family, we have a mission to fulfill. But first of all, I ask if you can bring a picture of you in the past to see you in those days. So I don't know if we have Sarah's picture, and I want to see it. There you go. Oh, my goodness. How long ago was that, Sarah?
That was in 2000 and probably 9 or 10.
Oh, wow. Like 11 years ago?
Yes.
My goodness. Come on. Wow, yes. That is good. Oh, it's nice to know that we have more than 10 years together here.
Yes,
in the same family.
It's awesome, yes.
Oh, that's great. So let's see Gary's picture. Oh, my goodness. You see? You see Gary? And you see me? Oh, my goodness. The time has been good with us, you know? We look better today than in the past. We are the church. And the thing or the topics... The topic for today is you are the church, we are the church.
That's right.
And I want to read from the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, what Jesus said about the church. He said, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it."
Right.
Jesus said, "I will build my church." With so much power that the devil and the complete hell won't be able to stop it.
Wow, that's good.
That's powerful. And I want to say that we, the church, based on the Bible, we are the communion of the true believer of all time.
Right.
And that is powerful because we are connected in the Spirit.
That's pretty powerful. And, I think you mentioned something very important, and I think it's a great foundation for our conversation today, that we are talking about the capital C church in general, like the big church, but we're also talking about our local church, and that's important. I want to say something and maybe make a statement. You can't love your local church properly if you don't love the capital C church properly, and Pastor just said it. I think we're called to love everyone, maybe the different denominations and the different even belief within the churches might be different, and we might not be on the same page. But hey, listen, we are a whole family. We're a big family. And Pastor just said it. Throughout the years, throughout the times, since the beginning of the church, which we're about to read, where we all started, God called us to be his bride, to be his church. And we need to live up to that. And Pastor, I want to read that. And I know we're going to hear from you guys. I'm so excited. We're so thrilled to hear from you guys. And I want to read this, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is where the church technically started as we know it today, right? And he says, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Say with me, together in one place.
Together.
Come on, that's how we need to be. Same place, same heart. Verse 2 says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Verse 4 says, all of them, say with me, all of them. Come on, say it like you mean it, all of them. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Woo.
That's powerful.
And that is so powerful because it's not only the beginning of the church, it's also a prophetic sign of what the church will be in the future.
Yes.
And it says that a lot of people from different places, they were worshiping God and speaking in tongues, and I think they were proclaiming salvation.
Right.
So we as church right now, we are more than 30 different nationalities and different cultures. And we have one a real, real American here. And we are from different cultures. Gary, what has meant to you to be part of this church that in the beginning was a Latino-based church and you are a real, real white American?
True, true. A white American from Ohio, they call me the hillbilly. This church has been, first off, I never thought in a million years I would belong to a Hispanic church, you can imagine. When I first started the church, we were at Flanagan High School, and it was strange to me to have somebody whispering in my ear the translation. It was Katha and Lily Benito. They take turns just whispering in my ear, translating what the pastor... Exactly.
That's great.
And they disagree sometimes.
Two different teachings.
Yeah. No, but... So it's been amazing. One thing that when somebody asks me about my church and how I, how do I feel here, there's one word, and it's home.
Wow.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, that just covers it all. When I'm here, I'm home. And, with you guys is, home's time too. So I love
it. I had the honor to perform your marriage ceremony, and you are married to a Colombian woman, a very nice disciple, Clarita. We love her. And it was amazing because I remember that in those days, in the premarital course that we did, I had to have my dictionary on my side for some of the words that I didn't know how to explain it to you. I will say something, but I know, don't worry. But it was good. It was good to see you get you into this culture because of the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's the key.
Amen.
Regardless of your nationality, regardless of your country or the region you are from, if we have the same Spirit, we will be together. And you, Sarita, you are from Venezuela.
From Venezuela, yes.
Uh-huh. And you are married to a?
A American, but with parents from Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan.
Imagine that, the mix of the cultures.
Yes.
And what is for you to be part of this church?
I think I can totally say what he was saying, that it's home. And mostly because... I wasn't brought up with, with like Christianity or, I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, but not on the importance of having a relationship with him. I even went through like a Catholic school and all these things. So it was like, it was always there. The knowledge was always there. But that whole emptiness of actually having a relationship with him, I think it's that's where, this is where I learned it, you know, and that's why I think I can call it home. That's why I think I can have like an ownership on my church, because it's, it was that, like that path or that tunnel or like bridge, sorry, like that bridge that really got me to understand who Jesus really was and who and what he had done in my life. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear both of them, Pastor, and obviously we have the church's founder right here, okay? So it's, I hear from you, and I hear your words, and I hear both your hearts as well, and I think just the word value really comes to my heart, and I feel the same way as you do, you know? I've been here for 17 years as well, and it's been a great journey so far, and we love what God has done in our local church and how we participated with the Capital C Church, but I hear that. And I hear Jesus. I really do. Because when I hear value, I hear Jesus. Like, we've been speaking about value so much in our series. You know, you got to value yourself. You got to value God. But if we're going to love the church, we got to value the church. There's no other way. And I love that because Jesus actually said it to us. He left it for us. Remarked in the Bible, what's the value for him? Like, this is our value. But how about if we speak about his value for a second? How does God love his church? Pastor, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Hmm. What a powerful verse.
That is so powerful because Jesus gave his life for the church. And the question will be, what are we willing to do for his church as well?
Yeah.
He gave his life. And sometimes people make the mistake to, you know, have like, I don't know how to say, but it's like, okay, I love God, but I don't love the church. I don't love the people of church because they are imperfect. Mm-hmm. I don't like her to, like them too much.
Right.
So they made a big mistake. So today we're going to talk about five practical ways to love our church. Mm. That is the church of God.
Yeah.
And that is important because if Jesus, the Lord mm-hmm. and the Savior of my life, he loves the church, I had to follow him.
That's right.
And I had to be part with him of his plan.
Yeah.
And I love that you are here because you will give us some perspective about this. So let's go to the first one. How can I love my church or the church of God? I want you to read with me from the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he said, a new command I give you. Mm. Pay attention to this. A new command. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Mm, so good.
This is not a general command. This is a specific command that Jesus gave to his disciples. Mm-hmm. So we can take this command to us
right.
as a direct command to us. And he was saying, you as my disciples, regardless that you are from different families, mm-hmm. nationalities,
right.
or cultures, you have to find a way to love each other. To put aside the differences.
Yeah.
Because if you love each other and you show that you as my family have the capacity to love each other, they will believe. They will understand that you are my disciples.
That's right.
So how important is for you, Gary, and this is the first one, love the members of church.
Mm-hmm.
How can you love the members of the church in some time if they don't even speak the same language as you speak?
Good question. In my eyes, how do I say? It's the eyes. A lot of time, the feeling that I get, to me in my culture, it's not very normal to hug somebody, even at church. And for me, you know, if we first started here, it was very strange for me to hug everybody. And now I look forward to it. But now it's very strange coming here today and not being able to hug everybody, you know? Yeah. You know, I'm just even greeting you this morning, Pastor. It was like, it was strange to me not running up and picking you up, you know? So,
I missed that.
But yeah, yes. But it's great. For me, it's a whole other way of life. You know, meeting all of you and being part of all the Hispanic group.
But you said it. You learned it.
Right.
You learned this way to show love to people that are not part of your blood family, but are part of your spiritual family.
And so that's automatic for me now in my work, in my environment, when we go to trade shows. I mean, I do actually hug people. and you feel the stiffness. It's like, oh, what's he doing, you know? But it's part of showing love, and when I can talk about this church, I do. You can imagine. So,
and everybody needs it.
That's great. So I know, like, that sounds great, and you're very huggable, by the way. Just wanted to point that out. But Sarah, I know that sounds super good, but sometimes it's not that easy, though. And maybe if you're watching, or maybe you're here, this is where it gets rough, because we gotta like value something that might have hurt us. And I think that there's so much hurt within the brothers and sisters, but at the end of the day, isn't that a family and isn't that real life? How have you managed? You've been here for so long, 11, 10 plus years. How have you managed getting offended and seeing people's like maybe backstabbing, or I don't even know what you've experienced, but can you share a little bit on that experience? Because I know people are not easy.
And
let's
you
just start there.
Even met your husband here, right? Oh my
yes,
goodness!
I did.
That's a plus, right? Like,
yes.
Come on.
like you said, it's been a long time, so I've been through a lot of things. Also, a lot of seasons in my life, a lot of changes. Like I started when I was in high school, so back in high school, now I'm married. So it's like a lot of different seasons, you know. I found my lifetime friendships here and everything, but we're dealing with people every day. So it's like Pastor said at the beginning, like nobody's perfect. So the hurt's always gonna be there. Though I don't agree with you is always gonna be there. But I think that when Pastor was reading about the verse, you know, it's always reminding yourself that you're not perfect either. And that God shows us His love every day. So, if He's allowing to show us His unconditional love every day, that's what we need to do every day with the people around us. Which is not easy because like I said, not everybody thinks like you think. But it's understanding that God loves everybody and that everybody has like an importance or a value, you know, the same as you do. So it's just, you know, learning how to talk to people, learning how to confront people when you, like, healthy, you know, because you're going to go, that's impossible not to go through.
Right.
But important to, in your relationships, for them to be healthy, to talk to people about what you're feeling, to confront people in a healthy way.
Well, I would like to say this. I think true value will allow you to overcome anything. Like, if you truly value what God has given you and being part of the church and His family, whatever happens, it won't be strong enough for you not to overcome it. And God's going to heal your heart if that's your case. And I love that we're being practical, Pastor, because we all go like, you know, smooshy, mushy church. But when we come to the need and greed of it, it's really tough and it's really hard and maybe very hurtful.
And
but
I have a phrase for this: is love your brothers despite the differences,
yes,
despite the problems,
that's right,
and despite anything.
Come on, that's really good. Yeah.
So we have a call to action for you. If you know that you need to restore a relationship with one of your brothers or sisters,
come on, that's really good.
Do it this week.
Yes.
Call them. Do whatever you need to do. Zoom call, because we don't, you know, we are not getting together these days. But do whatever you need to do to restore a relationship.
Yes.
God created us unique. Mm-hmm. So in that uniqueness that we all have, we have differences.
Right.
And that is normal. And we need to accept others with their differences And we need to learn not only to accept them, but to love them.
That's right.
And this takes us to the next point. So number one, you need to love the church and love its members. But the second one is seek harmony in the church of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to all of you agree with one another. Agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And I have a video for you to represent what is harmony in the church of Christ. Pay attention.
Come on, that's so good. Give it up for the production team. That is hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that we're talking about harmony. And I'm no musician, to be honest with you.
I can testify that.
Yeah, a lot of people can testify about that. And I'm not a musician. I love music. But I know this, that if all people will sing with the same tone, there will be no harmony. And I think that you and I need to celebrate the differences that God has given us as individuals, just like Pastor was saying. You and I are different for a reason, so that we can cause a harmony that will create transformation in our households, in our communities, in our hearts. So we want to invite you today. Come on, all those gossips, all these things that come to you. You ain't no garbage can for garbage. Like, don't grab them. Whatever is coming your way, I invite you, grab it, deal with it, confront it. Live the principles that the Bible teaches us for us to live in harmony.
Yep.
And Paul here, it sounds very desperate. It's like, I plead to you. No, I think he's very confronting. What he's saying is like, hey, come on, get it together. Stop acting up around. Stop the drama. Cut the drama. Get right to it. Confront with the truth. And I think we'll live very, 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 very good in harmony. And
because he's saying you are part of something bigger than yourself.
That's right. That's right.
If you understand that we are part of something bigger, we will find a way to, you know, get in that harmony.
That's right.
To fulfill our purpose.
That's right. And the third thing that we're going to go over today as we keep navigating this beautiful topic is, if I'm going to love the church, if I'm going to value the church that God has given us and we're part of, we got to serve the church of Christ. And John chapter 12, verse 26, I love this. It says, whoever serves me must follow me. I'll repeat that to you again. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. What a principle it is. And Pastor, we have two servants of the Lord here. A man of God and a woman of God. Good Lord. That have served for so long. We have seen you developing your love through to Jesus, to the church, through the service. Would you please share, why is it so critical to serve the church?
So when I came to church, I was brought by a friend, right? So my family was in completely agreement with the whole situation. So for me, I think that service has become such an important and priority in my life, because I understood by first experience or by first hand that me and my house will serve the Lord, you know, because my first thing was like my parents, like my family is going to come to Christ, you know, because we always knew about God. We always knew about Jesus, but it was that experience or understanding the relationship with him. So I think that that's why service is such a priority in my life, because of that, you know. And now understanding it as I'm out of my parents' house into a house with my husband, it's like the same principle stills, you know. Like, for him is like the most important thing too. So it's like that agreement of understanding that Jesus gave it all for us, you know. So this is like the least we can do, and of thankfulness heart, that this is how we love the church. You know, that's like the only way. So, yeah.
And I have a question for Gary about this. Because you are a business owner, and you serve in the special events department, cooking and serving the table for people. How can a business owner, humble their hearts. Because we have more people like you in that department and in the whole church. How are people like you can humble their hearts to serve others?
Well, it comes back to the word home. We all, in our house, in our homes, we all serve each other. And besides what Jesus has said, that you know we are to serve others, I mean, what is a better place than here at home? So I'm happy to serve others. I feel good to serve others. I don't look at it as a job. I look at it as a privilege and to have fun. It doesn't matter to me what I do. You know, I started serving in security in Eagley Temple and then moved over here to special events, accidentally, on purpose, I guess. But no, it's an honor. There's no other way to say it. It's an honor. Wow. If you don't serve in church, you should. You're missing out.
Well, you were saying it's powerful because you say that it's an honor, and the Lord says that those who serve him, he will honor them. That is so powerful. So I want you to give a big hand to all the service and team members of Community Church and the disciples. You are the best, guys. So if we move forward to the fourth, we have two more. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Food in my house. Yep. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Wow. So another practical way to serve or to love your church is bringing provision.
That's right.
Because remember, we as church, we are in a spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And when you are fighting a war, you need resources. And the plan of God is to use his children and to prosper his children.
Right.
And help them to understand that they are the way that the Lord uses to bring the resources to church.
Right.
Not only with our time serving, not only with our worship and with the prayers that we're going to talk about in the last point, but with our resources as well.
That's right. I think that, you know, sometimes this kind of like gets an issue with us. But I think that with the right heart, God can give you the right perspective, because there's not a better soil than the church of Christ. You know, I don't know if you know that song, "This is how I fight my battles," you know, and don't get me started, please. Don't get me started. Stop.
Don't sing, please. And, we don't want that,
you know,
harmony.
And you know, we hear a song, we're like, let's go, let's pray, let's worship, you know. But can I tell you that your generosity, it's a weapon for the kingdom of heaven as well. Can I tell you today that every time you come with your tithing and your blessing and your generosity and your offerings, you're fighting a battle. I'm not trying to sell you nothing, okay? I'm just telling you that the principle of generosity that God calls us to do, not for us just to live well, no. It opens doors so that people can come through. Listen to me. Your generosity makes the doors of the church wider and more open so that more people can receive the love of God. So don't take this for granted. I know none of us here on this table do. That's why we can speak to you with authority, because we understand the power of generosity. It's a weapon. But you know what? We got a bunch of weapons, Pastor. And I love our fifth and final point. Because if you're going to love the church, if you're really going to value a church, you and I, we got to pray for the church. And it's a battle. It really is. But prayer is the best weapon that we have. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says, they all joined together constantly. Come on, say with me, constantly in prayer. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, all together, constantly praying for the church, for the saints, and for what God is going to do. Prayer.
And that was the way that the church started.
Right.
So if that was the way that the church started, we need to understand that it's the same way to keep the church moving forward.
That's so good, yeah.
And that's how the Lord has to find us at the end of the times.
That's right.
United in prayer. And let me tell you something, Gary and Sarah. When we were getting ready for this and we were thinking about to whom bring to this table, we decided to bring people that live these fifth principles, or these five principles, sorry. So you love your brothers and sisters. You are people that always, you know, find harmony in church.
Yeah.
You serve. You are tithers. And you are people of prayers as well. So we bless you because you represent our church and our people. So I want you to give a big hand to the Lord and to Gary and Sarah in representation of all the team members and disciples of church. And I want to close with this, because we are trying to find this harmony and unity because we have a purpose. We have a mission. And we cannot forget about the people outside.
That's right.
Your family, the members of this community,
yeah.
Other countries as well, because now through technology we can preach to other countries. And we have a mission, and the Lord says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you are the light of this world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house."
Right.
And he closes this thought. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
Wow.
And that is the purpose. When we find that unity, and we as church can be a real family, as you said it, Gary.
Yeah.
We can be home. Mm-hmm. Others will believe and they will glorify God because we are really in a true family.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
So we need to put aside our differences, the burdens of our hearts, the problems, and be humble. So you have a mission this week. You need to restore relationships. You need to call on to those that are away from the Lord right now, because we know, based on the statistics, that one-third of the people of church are now in vacation. And they are suffering. So we have a big mission to fulfill. So let's close in a prayer right now.
Let's just pray, and we just want to thank you guys one more time.
Yes, thank you.
Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence in this place. God, we come before you as one, just exactly as you called us. God, today we choose to leave division aside. We choose to leave what we think being more important on just one side. Our opinions, God, we just leave them to the side for a moment, and we just grab on to the fact, to the truth, that we are the church, that we are your body, that you're the head, and that you called us, Lord. Today, we humbly ask you, Holy Spirit, it's hard, it's complicated, because we're people. But that is the same reason why the church is so valuable to you, because of the people. So we come not out of need, but we come before you out of the value, out of the understanding of how important moments like this are, conversations like this are, Lord. I pray for the hearts that have been damaged by the church. I pray in general those who have said, "Oh, that person said that. Oh, no, he said this. This happened." I pray for healing in Jesus' name, that we can find the value and that within the value, God, we make the right choices. To understand that we cannot live disconnected, that that's not the call for your life, for our lives from you, God, that we must be connected. And it has to be something as a practice that we are constantly being there, constantly persevering, constantly fighting the good battle, constantly coming, constantly connecting, being there, God, understanding the value and the importance. And we pray, God, that you can help us, Holy Spirit, to love one another, that you can help us, Holy Spirit, to serve one another, to understand that it is through your purpose that we serve one another. That is the essence, Lord. Thank you. We pray that you can give the seed so that the seed that you give us, we can plant it on the good soil of your kingdom, Lord. And we ask you today to put a ferocious feeling in our hearts for prayer, God, that we can constantly lift up our brothers, our sisters, our pastors, our leaders, our church, our buildings, God, our communications, everything, God. We can constantly present it in prayer to you, Lord, believing that there is power in our words. God, thank you because you allowed us access to be part of your church. We didn't deserve it. And yet again, God, you give us the privilege to be part of it. So we love you, Lord. And in your name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. If you believe it, give a big hand to the Lord. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Gary. And I want you to stand up if you are here with us, if you are at home or wherever you are. Take a moment to reflect on this and meditate on this. And I have a question for you. Are you really loving the Church of Christ? And I'm not asking you if you say or you feel that you love the church. I'm saying if you are really loving the church, acting, serving, praying, tithing, being part of everything that the Lord is doing. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to pray with me to close and make a commitment with the Lord. Say with me, Father, I come before you today and I make the decision to love your church as Christ loved it. I'm willing to sacrifice to find the harmony and the unity with my brothers and sisters to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill the assignment that you have for us. Thank you, Father, because I have a spiritual family where I can grow and I can serve and I can move forward to my future. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Wow. Thank you, Father. And I don't want to close without giving you the opportunity to make Jesus the Savior of your life. Or you probably want to reconcile with Him, or you want to take a step forward in your spiritual life. This is the moment to do it. So you can say, Lord, I open my heart to you. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to give me a new opportunity. I want to live in your purpose. And I want to enjoy your promises. Father, I want to obey your word. And to have communion with your spirit. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.